Blog Talk Radio.
Good night to head down. God bless everybody. God bless everybody. We are here, Dirty Church Radio. Tonight, Unrestricted Conversations. Dirty Church Radio presents Unrestricted Conversations. We're blessed to see another day. Glad you woke us up this morning. Allowed us to go from the morning into the afternoon, now into the evening. So I thank God for experiencing service today. I thank God for his mercy, his grace. I thank God for his love. I thank God for some nuggets. Expecting Dr. Sean Sewell's on with us tonight. Our man of God, pray. He makes it right. But for some of you tonight that call to Dirty Church Radio, if you want to call in to the show tonight, 1-7-8-8-9-7-0-7-6. And it will be such a blessing to have you on here with us tonight as we can live, hear you, ask some questions, whatever it is. Radio with no topic, no issue, it's out of bounds. So we're open, man. And I'm looking forward to being stretched. We're stretching out. Tonight was a powerful Apostle Thomas talked about the withered man, how we've been with him, and that God can actually touch him.
Right. When he made
word. His word was so powerful, he just gave him
a command.
God right now is giving a command to a lot of us, telling us to stretch out of that situation.
Right.
I know it's painful. I know it seems like you ain't been going nowhere. I know it seems like you're like a dead man walking. Your life is full of so much chaos, full of pain. But God is commanding us right now, stretch out into his love, stretch out into his joy. And it's a powerful thing, man. The man we serve, he's awesome. He is so awesome. And I'm just thankful for his love, man, him giving a chance to experience true salvation, true deliverance,
the real thing.
That's why where I come from and what God has done for me,
right.
He doesn't have to prove himself to me
right.
no more. He already proved himself, and he is so awesome and good. Awesome and good. Thank God for it. I thank God for tonight. We have it on tonight, Dr. Jones. I pray that he makes it on tonight. He's dealing with the rejection of Lazarus in the church. And I'm not going to go right now. Some people are wondering, what do you mean? Church, but all of us have a Lazarus moment. All of us have been in the tomb of some situation,
right?
But God, my brother, all of us have been in some type of Lazarus, and God had to come in front of the people to speak to us, live, come on, and then he spoke. Others' responsibility to speak. He spoke to us. Get the grave closed. Loose him. And the thing about it is, there are some of us right now that are still walking. The grave goes on. There are some of us still attached. Smell like the stench of death. And some people in or who have not been in the faith for a long time. There are a lot of things that are attached to their lives. And an atmosphere needs to be set because of what I look like, what I come from, what I smell like. I need to experience the true love of God. We all have a responsibility, Pastor Bill, to reflect that love of God. So what it looks like, what it feels like.
Right. And playing love God is really a challenge because God was sometimes to love people that hurt
you. Mm-hmm.
And love people that like that do that God doesn't curse
you. Uh-huh.
And it's like upon the head. And like it's funny because like God allow you to call different things that are beyond the norm that you normally would be. But that might be the God may bless you. Your God might bless you, God, that he just really like bless you on the divine peace, divine joy, and the great reward. That's all.
You know something, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it right now where there are some people right now who have had a major fall. There's some people right now who have, you know, walked away from God. There's some people who have been hurt by people who they thought would love them with the love of God. And there's some people right now who are in a place right now where they've asked God to forgive them of their sins.
Right.
Lord, forgive me. God is working on them and cleaning them up. But when they come back into the very presence of the people who remember their sin,
yeah,
or remember their fall, the forgiveness of God that's on their life, God accepts them. But isn't it something when the church rejects,
yes,
what God has forgiven?
And we live in a very judgmental era, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one reason why, like, there's a poll that came out for like people who believe in God or affiliated with some kind of religion. For the first time in American history, so many people don't affiliate them with no religion at all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to church, they don't really know that at all. And that's because for so long, like, people have felt judged because of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, the hypocrisy of the church, in a sense, where how am I coming to you about something that I'm doing wrong when you're out there doing the same exact thing that I'm doing?
Listen, I'm dirty right now. I'm filthy. But when I come into the presence of Pastor Boone, there should be a word that can bring life and can bring the blood that can cleanse me out of the dirt that I'm in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, regardless of how nasty my sin may look to you, if you say you walk with the love of God and you walk with the anointing of God, and that you're filled with God's Spirit, there should be something standing you strong with all confidence, knowing that regardless of what an individual is going through, the power that's in you is enough to deal with that situation. How is that really possible if God has a plan for us all? That's one reason I stopped going to the church. Well, I'm going to tell you, man, and this is how I feel. I believe there's a great trick of the enemy to first create separation, to give us all a reason to separate. So
right,
to move away, because you got to understand, the church is full of sick people.
Yeah.
The church is a place that's full of people with issues,
right,
full of people with past memories, hurts, all different type of things.
Trauma,
mental trauma, all different type of things. So regardless of even the titles that you may see with pastor and apostle and bishops and all of that type of stuff, regular lay members, missionaries, deacons, choir members, praise and worship leaders,
right,
everybody has some type of trauma that they have encountered, that we're all in the need of God. We're all in the need of a deliverer. We're all in the need of a healer. We're all in the need of a way maker.
Right.
Because some of us, we're in a situation where we don't see no way out. But what the enemy does, he tries to make our mind take us to a place where we feel like we're on an island all alone. He
yeah.
wants us all by ourselves, making us feel like we can do and accomplish everything by ourselves,
sure,
where we completely separate ourselves from other people. that are sick just like us.
And then what he'll do is he'll people that are sicker than you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They're sicker than you.
Uh-huh.
They're going through the people. Remember, the people that you're supposed to be helping to get out, you'll get you looking for them, and you're helping them stay in.
What's the exact scripture? I don't want to quote it wrong, but it says, you did run well. But who? Listen, regardless, the reason why a lot of people don't go to church no more is because of a who.
Right.
It's not even because of a what. It's because of somebody, something that was said or something that was done in an individual's mind, something
right.
that pierced, a thought that you could not get over, a thought that you did not cast down, something
right.
that you begin to meditate on the hurt. And the hurts that we experience or the offenses that we experience, the more we keep meditating on it, it turns into a cancer. And
right.
that cancer slowly creates all these different mental infections in our mind that make us respond to the way, you know what, the first thing that we want to do, let's get out of the church house and let me create something in them that make them feel a certain way about the church. You know what I mean? Let me, because whatever the enemy can do to keep the separation from a person getting in the atmosphere where they can hear a word that can bring great deliverance for them in life. So you know what? Let me let them stay home. So that now the enemy, he can raise up a pulpit and begin to minister.
Right.
His mindset to you. So he'll say things like, you know what, Pastor Boone? You was right to leave me. They not on that level.
Yeah,
you know, you're greater. You're greater than that situation.
He'll pinpoint. It's funny. It's funny, but the more dangerous thing is when you start to get yourself dumb enough, your pain can become your God.
Yes,
and you think you're hearing God, but really hearing your pain. So
I'm gonna tell you, man. And you know what? Right now in this season, but see the thing about it, you said the favoritism from the leaders of the church and the congregation. Listen, one thing. This is one thing that I find so true. Once you tap into a real relationship with God, like once you know that it's you and God and you're spending time with him, the Bible says, what's the scripture, Pastor Boone? I think it's Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth,
yep.
but thou shalt meditate on it day and night and observe to do according to all that's written therein.
Right.
For then thy way shall be made prosperous, and then you shall have good success.
Right.
First of all, a lot of times when we go to church and we're in church, right, we experience Sunday morning, but we don't experience God.
Right. We experience the tradition.
We're experiencing the tradition, but God wants us to get in his word and begin to meditate on the word.
Right.
So that we ourselves become living word.
And that's the thing. The devil don't want you to read the word.
No, he don't want you.
He don't want you. He wants you doing everything else, but actually reading the word.
That's right.
Because heaven and earth are passing, but my words are staying forever. Like, he doesn't go anything contrary. God will not say anything contrary to his word. So if you're not studying the word, how can you really know? How can you really have anything to combat with the devil? How can you decipher between what the devil is saying and what God is saying
and what you're saying
and what you're saying?
And a lot of times, man, I'm going to tell you, man, we get addicted to our own emotions.
Right.
We become
right.
addicts of our own emotions.
Own pity.
Our own pity. And the enemy wants to keep you in a place by yourself so you can keep recycling that feeling. And it's not until you can actually, or God himself or someone or a post like this can speak a word to you to say, you know what? Let me break this cycle. Let me get into a place. Let me go to a church regardless of what people are there. I know why I'm here. And that's the thing. We can't allow other people, Pastor Boone, to
right.
rob us for our purpose and our reason for being in the house of God.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm there. Listen, I'm going through a lot of different things. Pain. I got intellectually and logical right now, I have every reason just to stay home. If I was to just give you the reasons or give you certain situations that I've been through or what I'm going through.
Right.
But when you get in God's word, his word, man, is so fiery that it gets in you, and it lets you be able to see beyond the pain. It lets you be able to see beyond the hurt. And you know what God's word gives you the most, Pastor Bo?
Yeah.
It gives you no excuse.
No reason.
It gives
no
you
excuses,
no excuse. Like, you have no excuse. When you start reading about what God went through for you, when you start reading about how he shed his blood for you, but in that case, you really don't need to be on a church.
All right. All right. All right. Let's make this thing. And, like, I could have had a conversation with a young man last week because – and the analogy I used with the young man was like the concept of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you play basketball, your success in basketball is not hitting on one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends what you do in a team format.
Yeah.
You're only successful as the team is successful.
Yes.
And you only have a good barometer of how good you are when you're playing in a team concept. Anybody can be good with the success. But when you're playing in a team concept, that lets you understand where you are and what your role really is on a team.
And also understanding the body.
Right.
We are the body of Christ.
Right.
You may be the arm. I may be the leg. What can the arm do by itself?
Right.
Without the shoulder? What can the leg do without the feet? And you never know, when you don't assemble yourself together, someone else misses out on the gift that's in you. You know, and like, that's why it's important for us to come together. No, it's not about what's on the name of the church. It's not about that. But us as believers in Christ, as the body of Christ, we are to form together like Voltron.
Right.
We are to come together. And when we come together, we're more powerful. One can chase 1,000. Yes, fellowship. And that's what we do. We come together.
Yes, forsake not to assemble yourself together.
Forsake not to assemble yourself together.
That Bible says don't neglect the assembly of assembling yourself together. Ain't just going on watching stuff on YouTube or watching something on TV. It's actually coming together and being somewhere where you can be accountable to one another.
And a lot of times, I could go there like that. A lot of times, man, when we choose to stay home and we try to do this thing by ourselves and we don't need nobody and we don't need the church to come together, really, that's being selfish.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's really being selfish because, yo, you never know by you coming around a certain person and they just seeing you smile. Your smile or a hug from you or just one word from you can do so much to someone else's life.
It can bless them.
It can bless them.
Right.
And see, God puts a gift in you, Brother Andre. The gifts that he put in you ain't for you.
For somebody else.
It's for somebody else. It's for somebody else. And that's what we have to realize. The enemy wants us to stay home. The enemy wants us to look at the church as something that I don't need to be a part of because the bad experience that I once had or the several experiences that I had that didn't go in my favor. And I look and I seen so many things. I seen the wheat growing with the tares.
Right.
But it's always going to be like that. It's always going to be positive and negative in the same atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, what are you going to be? Are you going to allow the negative to turn you negative? Or are you going to still stay and be what you're called to be?
Right. And I'm in a situation right now where like a part of me has been, and we're like, yo, a nigga want to come out.
Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes what you have in your life, we're like, yo, it wants you to respond in a way that God would not be pleased.
How so? You know what, my brother? Listen, you can call in right now to 917-889-7076. And we can hear your voice. You could come talk with us. But what God has for me. Or is that analogy reflected towards something?
That's a reflection of something different, brother. When you say what God has for me, that's like, okay, whatever blessing that God has stored for me, the devil can't take it from me.
Yes.
know what I'm saying?
Oh,
unless I give it.
Unless, and a lot of times what we do, we hand over stuff to him and we make his job easy.
Right.
We make the enemy's job easy.
Right.
We put stuff right in his hand. Here you go. Because anytime we go against what God is trying to tell us, and we go against the instructions of the word of God, none of us are perfect, but when we go against that, he actually put it right in his hand.
Yeah, it's a ticket.
Isn't that something? Like you have the victory in your hand. He don't even have to fight you for it.
Just give it up.
Giving it to him.
Right.
So we're here tonight, and hopefully Dr. Sean Sues will come on here soon. We're waiting for him. I sent them a message, but anyway, if not, it still goes on. We're dealing with the rejection of Lazarus in the church.
Let me ask you a question. Is it very easy for us to judge Lazarus' circumstances? Because from the outside looking in, if you were so good with Jesus, why did that you die?
Yeah.
Like, yo, man, we have to be like, you're like, if you're so anointed, then why are you being a victim? Or why is your marriage jacked up? Or why are you struggling? If you're so anointed, then why are you going through?
You know what I noticed something? God, and I always say this, I truly believe that God is in the glory game business. I believe God, certain scenarios that we're in, we think we're going through it because of us. But it's always a greater reason why you're in what you're in. You may be in a situation right now where I'm talking about all hell is just breaking out in your life. But everything you're experiencing right now, it's for a conversation that you're going to have with a young man next year. Going through this very same thing that you're going through.
Right.
But you're in it right now. You're feeling it. And I learned something today. Let's sit back and let's do our best to learn the lesson. Learn everything you need to learn while you're in it.
Yo, man, if you can't,
It's hard to want to be like, yo, I'm in this situation right now. What's going on, my brother? I'm sitting here. We're going through situations. Lord, why you got me in this dark place? Why am I in this suffocating place?
And the powerful thing is, the people who put you there are getting blessed while you're stuck in a holding pattern.
Think about it, Pastor Boone. You got to look at it even a little bit. Even right. A little bit more. Who said it was the people that put you there?
Yeah.
Who said it was the people? The very people. They could just be instruments.
Mm.
That was that. They were just following God. God can use anybody to get out of you what you need out of you. How about if what you're going through right now is just so the anointing can press out? Like the olive. How about if this is just a pressing for the anointing to come out? Because the anointing that's in you don't come out. The only thing that can get it out is a crushing and a press. That doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
That hurts. But that's the only thing. Pain is the only thing that can produce this greatness.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we hear that, we don't want to go through that. We don't want to realize that because it's a hurtful thing. It's something that, you know, we don't really actually want to go to these type of things, man. But we all pray prayers like, Lord, give me more power. Give me more wisdom. Give me more strength. Give me more insight. Give me more revelation. What do you think it costs to get those things?
Yeah, man. We don't measure the cost of what we ask of. But like some things come to us naturally. Your gift comes to you naturally. Like you're naturally given whatever you do. But the anointing, that can cost you something.
No, it's going to cost you something.
That will cost you. That can cost your heart being ripped out.
Mm-hmm.
Put on the floor. Walk on. And say, if your body's being walked on, I got an assignment for you. God, I'm cycling. Dad, I'm cycling. No. I know how you feel, but I need you to do this for me.
And I need you to do this for me, right? Because there's some people that's going to come across your past that right now they're at the point of death. They're at the point right now,
right,
that out you, they may never live.
Right.
So you have to be a sacrifice in this moment to go through this go-through so these other people can get to it.
Yeah. And that's your promise that's going to end after I finish using you.
No.
This is why I tell people, I'm like, yo, you got to get to the point where you have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stay stuck in religion, you will make decisions like that would talk about the Bible. Even though you may be, trying to abide in his will, the plan don't look like what his will said.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, God, all right, yo, Lazarus, your friend is sick. Now, if I'm in your will and I'm Lazarus, you should come at that moment and help me in the moment that you heard I was sick. No, Joseph, you're going to sit there and say, oh, it's not, let me call in the number.
The call-in number is 917-889-7076. You know something, Pastor Boone? My angle for tonight's show here on Dirty Church Radio is not just in Lazarus being raised. It's not even how long it took for him to be raised.
What you do after?
It's now he's raised, and now he has to go back amongst the people that knew he was dead. What do we do when I was the preacher? I fell and I got someone pregnant. I preached, ran revivals, did so much in the kingdom, but I fell. I'm in the tomb now. I got my gray clothes on. It seemed like I'm in a confined space. I'm not moving. I'm stuck. Just like the word they, my life now has become withered.
Yeah.
There's no movement
in
my life. I'm in a dead situation. Everybody knew I fell. I'm the preacher that fell.
Right.
I'm the preacher. Everybody knew that I done started using drugs.
Right.
I done started drinking. I got in a fight. I got all these different things going on in my life. But I fall on my face to God. And I pray. And I get on my face and I pray and I thank God. And I lay down and on my face and I pray to the Lord. Lord, forgive me for my sins. But once God forgives me for my sins, I get up and I go back around the people. And the very people that should have the love of God that just forgave me of my sin,
right,
now reject me because they remember that I was a dead man.
Yo, man, it's like that is the conundrum that most of us have faced in the next season. The next season, God said, I'm raising up Lazarus.
I'm raising up Lazarus.
And now, if you're going to be kind enough, and that is coming out. He's still bound.
Yes.
Still bound. And now I got to deal with the gray clothes that's left to get you free.
Yo, brother, I seen that your call. I just seen your number. I believe that was you that just called in. I seen you. I'm about to bring you in a second if you call back. But that's the number. Listen, and there's so many of us right now, the woman that got pregnant in church. The woman, she was the praise leader, or she did all these things functioning. But there's a moment where she became Lazarus. She's now considered dead. And she finds her moment of deliverance. She finds her moments of salvation to come back into God's grace. And God lifts her up and breathes upon her. But when she gets back amongst the people, as if she's still a harlot, she's rejected. They won't remove the sin from her life when God covered it. That is what I'm talking about. The rejection of Lazarus. When people remember our fall, they remember our sin, and they try their best to make sure we remain prisoners of it. So they won't invite you to preach no more.
Yeah.
They won't invite you to the house no more because you failed. Because you messed up. And I'm saying, where is the true love of God that truly covers regardless of what the sin looks like, regardless of what it looks like? When you look, just imagine, Pastor Boone, look at a dead corpse,
right?
And
right.
How that rot and how it would make you feel looking at it, the presence of it, what it would make you, how you would respond. Every Sunday morning, congregations all over the U.S. and all over the world. There are dead corpses sitting in those pews. Where's the power and the anointing fire of God that can speak to the dead corpse?
Right.
Get up. And if they do get up, will you still treat them like they're dead?
Or will you treat them like they have never seen?
Come on, man.
Will you treat them with a level of, like, judgment? Yeah, I know you got free, but guess what? Hey, I still remember when.
That's right. I still remember when. And it's something, man. I've had conversations with people, man, and right now in their mind, they're still being tormented by the rejection that they feel based upon their fall. They try to function. They try to move forward, feeling that everybody's against me. I thought that I would encounter the love of God through his people. But what I encounter is rejection and judgment.
Can you handle my real testimony? Can you handle where I came from?
Come on, man.
Can you really deal with that? If I told you the depth of my sin, or what I really got, God delivered me from, could you?
And the thing that's so real, and this is honest with the church, regardless of what, and this is no knock on Dirty Church Radio. I'm not kicking the church. I'm part of the church.
Right.
So I include myself in everything that I'm saying. But the thing that's so crazy is we do put measurement on sin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we measurement on sin.
Oh, yes. We got big sins, little sins.
We forgive what we want to forgive. And refuse and deny what we want to deny.
Right. Right.
Like, we pick and choose what we'll forgive.
And that comes from the hypocrisy of, like, Jesus dedicated a whole 3 chapters on how to deal with folks, how to deal with people who have fallen out of relationship with God, who have done something wrong, who have brought a sin to a brother in the house. And there's one particular story, part of the parable we use. Says there was a man that owed this king $1,000, put out $1,000. And the king came to collect the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the king said to him, oh, have mercy on me. And the king forgave him. But that same dude went to his brother, who only owed him $10.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yo, the brother said, yo, I'm struggling. I'll get back to you. And the brother said, no. Have him thrown in jail.
That's right.
When the king heard what that ungrateful servant did, he brought the servant back and said, now, let me ask you a question. How much did you owe me? And did I not forgive you?
Mm-hmm.
But yet your brother only owed you this much.
And you wouldn't forgive him.
And you would forgive him?
Had him shackled in prison.
So hear about this. How about I cast you into outer darkness, and you pay your debt.
Wow. And that's deep, man. That's a deep thing. Listen, if y'all want to call in, you call in here on Dirty Church Radio, 917-889-7076. Call in. If you're watching right now, call in. 917-889-7076. Call in and talk with us on Dirty Church Radio. No issue or topic is out of bounds. We're here dealing with the rejection of Lazarus in the church. And hopefully, Dr. Souls will come on here. Dr. Sean Souls is supposed to be our special guest tonight, talking about this topic and whatever else God, you know, would lay in the atmosphere for us to go. But we're dealing with it, man, because there are a lot of people, man, who really had a sincere heart to come back, to get into the church, or come back and just begin a new process of life. But they were rejected based upon how they looked. They were rejected based upon what they just survived. I don't want that anymore. I don't want to deal with that. That's too much for us. And that's the question. Can the church really handle Lazarus?
Yeah.
Can you handle the stench, the smell? Can you handle, man? Can you imagine right now all the different issues? I was looking at on YouTube. I was looking at a few videos, and it's this drug that's out. It's not new, but it's been out. It's like it's kind of like an epidemic a lot of places. It's called Flocka.
Yeah.
And this Flocka drug, man, it take people somewhere else. And one thing I'm looking at, every video I've seen, when people are experiencing this drug, it seems like it takes them to the ground and like they're swimming, like trying to survive something. They're lost, don't know where they're at. And that just, making all these facial expressions. They're just completely out of their character. My question tonight, what are you going through right now? What have you been encountering right now that has completely brought you out of your character, that has completely turned you into something that you never thought you would be, turned you into something that you never thought you would be doing? What is that thing? What is that thing that has been suffocating you, sent you into a complete panic mode, where you're trying to do any and everything, you're grabbing onto anything, just to try to make it? It don't matter what you grab on, just so I won't feel like I need to grab on to something.
Right.
So whatever I feel that can make me survive, I'll grab onto. Can you imagine a person that's drowning in the water?
Yeah.
They will grab onto anything to stop that process from happening.
And out of panic, they're becoming dangerous to themselves.
To themselves, man. And there are a lot of us right now on panic. You can go on Facebook right now. You may read some posts where people, you think they're joking, but really it's a cry out.
Yeah.
From the trauma that they're experiencing in their mind, the different things that's going on in their household, the different things that's going on in their life. And it's real trauma. And then on a Sunday morning, 2-3 hours, we try to get rid of a week's worth of trauma,
years worth.
Years worth of trauma in an hour or 2 hour span.
Right.
And some of us, man, brothers, like, listen, we got some real mental stuff going on. So the brothers out there that seen their friends killed in front of them, shot dead on the street in front of them, who out here have seen their mothers murdered, seen their fathers murdered. You got people out here, man, that seen their children drug overdose. You got people out here, man, that they grew up, man, their mother was a crackhead, their dad was a crackhead. Those are mental traumas.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
Yeah, and they bring that trauma into their relationship.
Of everything.
In every aspect of their life, and it comes up at times.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, they go boom. And that, and then what happens is they'll blame people that may not have been responsible for the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
For the trauma and treat them.
Because everything to them looks like that trauma.
Everything
reminds them of that trauma.
Everything
and when they don't want to face it right? It's an easy justification tool just to write it off as that trauma.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll throw it to there, so I really don't have to deal with this. So I'll turn you into that, or I'll turn that into this. And the thing about it, man, we really have to get to the root of our pain, the root of the issue, the root of the matter.
Right.
I mean, talking about, and I don't know the full process of what it would take for that, but we got to confront some things, man.
Sometimes we need to confront the pigment.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Sometimes it's the pigment that brings you to yourself. And like, yo, how many of my father's servants live better than this?
Listen to this, it's so crazy. How about the person who's in the pig pen, right? And they don't have a palace option to go back to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't have a father right now in their mindset that can hold their mind and give them. They can't say the statement that even the servants eat and live better than this. What about that person? Feel like my life is in real outer darkness. Well, I don't even remember moments of hope. I don't even remember moments of light in life. Because it's always been this. How about that person? Lapse. How about to the person who their whole life feel like they've been dead?
Right, right.
They don't even know because
what life looked like.
Even
if life could affirm, they wouldn't know how to choose life.
Because it said that dead people can't.
Nah.
If I'm feeling like I'm dead,
right,
even when I'm in the sphere of deliverance, I can't even respond.
Or you'll kill the one that gives you life.
And that's deep, man. Deep.
Yeah. So murder suicide.
Wow. On here, I was reading, which says, what is it God forgives but his church doesn't? What's wrong with church? It's a shame when God will call a new name according to his perfect will is for you. But the church will remember according to your last sin or fall. Something must change. We got to do better. God raises his children from the dead. His church to prevent them from coming out of the tombs.
So it's almost a bit like rolling in stone. It stinks.
And I don't want to deal with that.
I
don't want to deal with his
smile.
And that's the thing. Because a lot of us have this light action mentality. We have this awry. We got this bougie, whatever you call. What does it take for them to respond? Call in 917-889-7776.
then I wouldn't be in this predicament right now. I called you years ago to show the situation, and you didn't show up. I called you months ago to show up, and you didn't show up. So Father God, like, if you would only show up when I asked for you, then, yo, my brother wouldn't die. But you know something that I noticed, and you got to realize. If we have a conscious thought that Jesus is aware of our situation, regardless of what it looks like, it's victory at the end.
Yeah. But
I have to address the real, like, yo, we can be spiritual.
Yeah. No, but the real thing is.
But the real thing is, like, yo, I need to show up like yesterday.
I need to show up because it looks like there's no hope right now.
Right now, my brother is good dead. Not play dead. Like, yo, he's been dead for 4 days.
And you know something, though? A lot of times, God wants to show his power on that. And sometimes what you've been dealing with isn't right enough for the moment.
Yeah, but it, man, I'm gonna be honest, bro. Sometimes, like, okay, God, why me? Like,
I know.
Could it be the next Joker?
I know, but listen, like we just said earlier,
right.
The anointing that's on your life
is meant for, is greater than just you.
It requires the press that you're feeling.
Right. So Lazarus, you have to die.
The telephone number for Dirty Church Radio to call in. You can call in right now at 917-889-7076. The number again is 917-889-7076. If you can, Mrs. Miller, type that in on the Facebook Live right here. It's 917-889-7076. So whoever want to call in, they can look right here on the timeline to actually see the number.
Right.
917-889-7076. Call in live here and talk with us here, live on the radio and here live on Facebook. We're waiting for Dr. Sean Souls to show up, but if he doesn't show up, we're still here, we're live. This is what we do.
Right.
And we're talking about the rejection of Lazarus in the church. We're talking about the individuals who are being rejected based upon what's been remembered about them.
Right.
You remembered I did this, or I've done that, or I failed, and this happened, and that happened. But the hand of God still been on my life. He forgave me because I got on my face and I repented. I sincerely repented. But when I come around the brethren again, when I come around the fellowship again, I'm remembered by what happened and not what God is saying now.
The Bible says, your brethren fall, those who are spiritual, like, go and encourage and restore that brother.
Restore
considering yourself.
That's
you fall.
That's right.
In the sanctification. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Like, yo, you don't know what drove people to be who they are.
That's right.
But on the same token, you can't condone them for being who they are.
God bless you, Miss Miller. You're live here on Dirty Church Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
We're good.
Okay, so my question was, how do you get them to respond? If they're dead and you're saying that they can't respond, how can you get them to respond without killing the person that's coming to revival?
No, what we're saying is a lot of people right now, the way they're living their life and what's in their mind, it's like they're dead. They feel like they're dead. They feel like no hope. And you know, this is scripture or somebody talking about in hell. They say a lot of people think in hell that it's the fire that is very strong enough to keep. But they talk about what the worst concept of hell would actually be. It's the hopelessness that you get. That when you're there, this is good. Like, this is what you're always going to be. And there are a lot of people right now, a lot of lot of people that are living life, a lot of people that are living life right now, and they feel like there's no cure. They feel like they can't escape what they're going through. They can't escape what they're experiencing. And this is it. They can't see no light out of their situation.
Right. So how do they know? How do they know when somebody is coming to rescue them and pull them out of what they're in if they don't recognize what life looks like?
Well, you gotta understand, that's what the anointing does. The anointing breaks yoke. So sometimes the enemy requires away from the word that can bring them to life. They'll keep them stuck in their own city. They'll keep them staying home. They'll keep them, you know, on an island by themselves, feeling like a castaway, feeling like I'm all by myself. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. This is the way it is, or this is the way it's always going to be. But it's those of us who walk in the anointing, those of us who walk with the spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation, that when we encounter the dead, we have the direction of life in us. So we know what's dead around us. But a lot of
right.
us are not God. We're not walking in the steps that we should be. We're not going like we should be. Today about the withered man, the withered hand, the person that are withered. There are so many withered situations. But who is going to change? To stretch out.
Yeah.
Who has enough power within them to challenge the individual to come out the tomb? Wake up. Get up.
And deal with them and deal with the residue of what they came out of.
What they came out of, because the problem is a lot of people, when they come to church or they fail and they get up and they ask God to forgive them, they're constantly reminded of who they were or what they did because people won't really forgive them with the true forgiveness of God. Because people remember things and he put a measurement on people's sins.
And the question for that is, why do you think people put a measure of sin on other people when they too sin but keep it covered up? Why do they put such a measure on someone else's sin and not their own?
For the level of hypocrisy.
Yes.
Let me honest. As long as I put the microscope on your skeleton,
yes.
No one has time to go with mine.
That's right.
So I'll put the spotlight on the things that you're struggling.
That's right.
To teach me about mine. This is all out here. If you're listening, if you want to get in on this conversation live on the radio, we're live on Facebook and we're live on Dirty Church Radio. So you can call in at 917-889-7076. Ms. Miller, if you could type that in on Facebook or your thing, put
okay.
that
number
for people to actually see it. Call in. We want to hear you. We want to hear what you're feeling, what you're going through. You might have a testimony. You might got something you're going through, but call in. 917-889-7076. Dirty Church Radio, unrestricted conversation with no issue or topic is out of bounds. And tonight we're dealing with the rejection of Lazarus in the church. The individuals who were left for dead, the individuals who God forgave them for their sins, but when they come back amongst the people, they are treated as though they still have left. They're treated as though they still have their graves open. They're treated differently because people remember what you did or what you came out of more than what God is trying to do in you now. So my question is, if I'm Lazarus, how do I maintain my resurrection? Even if people that come and come remind me that I died. You just have to know that it's God that falls before. You just have to be confident and know that there's no way I could have got out of this if it wasn't for the Lord. So I'm going to continue to give him all the glory and all the honor. I got to kind of, you know, block out these voices that are speaking to me, because people will always try to make you feel less than according to the sin that you've done. To the person who used to be a prostitute and a whore, she'll be treated in a certain way as though no one will ever look at her as a possible or potential wife, because people will always try to bring up what she was and what she did.
Right. But the blood of Christ comes. People. The problem is people are not God. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And you know what? If people get that concept, we have to know that people are not God. But the problem is, since we can see people and we can physically hear people, a lot of times what they say has a lot of more impact because we don't have to have faith in what they say. They're saying it. What they're saying is reality. And it has a current or it hurts in the moment.
You know what I think it is, that sometimes people be stuck in these situations is sometimes when they use the facts of their life. And I think sometimes when they know more about you, and sometimes they don't even really have to know about you. But can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I just think that the facts sometimes can hold you hostage because you know it's true, even though you're ashamed of it. I think the fact of the matter is that you haven't forgiven yourself.
And you know what? That's true. I like that. My brother, we live in a time where they have more faith in people than God.
Right.
And you know what it is? Just like we have more faith in our pain, we have more faith in our struggle, we have more faith in what's happening now than we do in God. That's why we give. That's why we quit. That's why we allow people to affect us. The Bible says you could run well, but the fool is intended to. So a lot of, it's a whole lot of things going on in our lives. Who put you in those grave clothes that I called you out of? And that's why, you got to understand, today, all of us in church somewhere, we all sat in some congregation somewhere. But do you know, in that same congregation that you were sitting in, it was a congregation full of poor. There were people sitting next to you dead. There were people sitting next to you with the sense of death on their life. Who told you he was next? Listen, we have a relationship with God, and he speaks with us, and we talk with him. We have to know that his voice trumps any other voice that's outside of us, that we hear. But the thing about it, we get addicted and we become prisoners of people's perception and what they're saying to us. It gets in our ears, and then it starts getting in our heart. And then now, we become, it's almost like, movie producers and directors of our life. So they write in scripts into our life and they make us play the role and live it out.
I think that's only because you value someone else's opinion more than you value what you think about yourself. So when you start valuing what other people say about you, you start walking into according to how they say you are.
Y'all call in. Call in right now. I know y'all typing in, but call in. I want to hear some of y'all, some other people on this discussion right now. 917-889-7076. Call in. 917-889-7076. We're here talking about the rejection of Lazarus in the church. Have you ever been rejected? Have you been Lazarus when you felt rejected? Has someone reminded you? Has someone treated you different based on what was attached to your life?
How do you know when Lazarus exists?
You can only all these comments before. I want to make sure I want to understand, like, who have you been listening to, and what influencing your perception of me? Yes,
true. I'm gonna tell you. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about if everybody in here, if everyone that's watching right now, you can think about some of the things that you may have encountered in life. If some of us, we have reached certain levels. Some of us were in the pit. Some of us now are probably in the palace or whatever. But can you imagine living your life and your very moment is always brought up in your current palace status? So you're trying to move forward. You accomplish some things, but you're constantly reminded of what you went through in your pit. Now, it's not like our pit can't be a testimony, because it's nothing to be ashamed of where you were.
Yeah.
But when you try to use my past as a current weapon to destroy me, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah.
Or will you use my past to try to prevent me from elevating, going to the next level? So you try to use my past as an anchor to keep me stuck here from moving forward. And that's a lot of things that happens, man. When you're Lazarus and you've been rejected. I'm going to tell you. And you know something? We learn our greatest lessons in the pit.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
We do learn our greatest lessons in the pit. That's why when we accomplish or get to the palace, we shouldn't have an arrogant mindset. We shouldn't be. Listen, the greater level of your pit should be the greater level of compassion that you have in your heart.
Yeah, somebody else.
For someone else. So I judge situations, people that I encounter. If I come across arrogance and I see that, I'm looking now. That's a big warning sign for me.
Yeah.
That's a warning. That's a great warning sign. You can't forget the pit, because the pit is a constant fuel for praise unto God. Because if you survived it, you have no choice but to give him praise, glory, and honor.
Right.
And right now, there are some people that are watching right now that are going through some crazy things, man. Right now, you still got your grave clothes on. God raised you up. But to others, you said, am I judging? How would you say that? Explain yourself.
Not seeing arrogance.
Hey, yo, arrogance is something that you experience. I'm not just talking about what it looks like. I'm talking about how you're being treated, how you encounter it.
You know the tree by fruit that it bears.
Yeah, man. Like, yo,
if you bear arrogant fruit, you know what I'm saying? And it's still not just confidence and arrogance.
Yeah, like,
trust me, I can decide between you being confident and you being arrogant.
Listen, I'm not that old, but believe me, I know the difference. And I've been around a lot of people. I've encountered a lot of different personalities and a lot of different characteristics of people. You know what I'm saying? And there are some very arrogant people. But my thing is, there's always a reason for it, though. It could be
a facade
of something. It could be a defense mechanism.
Right.
It could be any different type of thing. But I'm talking about a person who has been forgiven for a lot, a person who has been survived a lot, a person who has been left for dead and they had a second chance. Yo, most likely a lot of those individuals, man, will treat you a complete different way. A person right now, if you went and flew out somewhere, a plane was on its way down to crash, but the pilot guided it some way and you survived the crash. From that moment, you're a different individual.
Right. And
you know what I'm saying?
And Lazarus can't be arrogant. Lazarus is dead.
No.
You're not letting Lazarus rise?
How are you not letting Lazarus rise? What do you mean? You need to call in and explain that. Call in. Because I need to know where you're going with that. You're just saying you're not letting Lazarus rise. We're talking about the rejection of Lazarus in the church. We're talking about we have to let Lazarus rise. We have to release Lazarus of his grave clothes. We have to let Lazarus function in the church and reach his full potential and not treat him as though he's still dead or was dead. Treat him like he's still, you know, with worms and that he's still something not to be around. We're talking about Lazarus can still change someone else's life. There's still gifts inside of Lazarus.
And if Lazarus has a. You're still dead.
Yeah.
But you don't know it.
just don't even know it.
That's the worst kind of thing. If you're arrogant, you're still dead and don't even know it.
You know, I'm talking about the arrogance that would look down on people.
Right.
I'm talking about the arrogance that look at everyone else as a peasant.
Or beneath you.
The person, and you can feel that.
Like, who you think you are.
Like you can actually feel
right.
that.
Right.
No, I'm looking at a person in that way, like, yo, in that present state, I wonder why they're like that. I wonder why does it have to be like that? You know what I mean? What caused that? What created that? Like, was it the success that they experienced in life that created that? Was it the money? Was it the way? It's so many different reasons you could go why people are the way they are. You know what I'm saying? I know some people, man, that's so bug, man, that for real. Like, I personally choose not to be around. Not that I don't love them or that I don't have, you know what I mean? But I choose not to be around just because the way they are. You know what I mean? Just because the way they are. And not saying that they can't change, but if you keep seeing the same cycle constantly,
that's who they are.
That's who they are. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? And the life that I live now, I choose what I allow in my life. I choose what I'm going to allow and what I'm going to accept. It's a statement that says behavior tolerated is behavior taught.
The reason why I asked that you guys said first is a certain way God changes.
All right, so that's my thing. When God truly changes an individual, that change is felt. Like, my thing is like this, and let's go there. This is me. This is Dirty Church Radio. It doesn't matter. Whatever. All right. I feel as though if you switched, you're a man and you were switching. And you say that God came in your life and changed you, there should be evidence to that change.
Yeah.
If there's no evidence to that change, in my opinion, I'm not God, but somebody lying. Somebody's lying. I think somebody's lying. My thing is like this. If you're a father, or you're a husband, and you abused your wife, but you came to Christ. You asked God to forgive you, right? I expect if you make that statement that you should no longer be an abuser. There should be some type of change.
And not only that, but there should be some level of recompense that you're doing out of repentance.
Yes,
to kind of make up or pay dividends for what has done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, like, for those of you offended.
Listen, everything we've done, I've done some things, and I asked God to forgive me, but I still had to reap
the consequences
of my actions in the midst of God's forgiveness. You know, his burdens are lighter,
yeah,
but I still had to deal with
it. Right.
Because you cannot escape the law of sowing and reaping. That's a law that we cannot escape. If you plant a bad seed is going to come out. It doesn't matter.
So, let me ask this question then.
Well, ask the question.
It might be on topic. So, learning how to sow in a family.
Okay.
Because sometimes what you're reading right now might be a product of what you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
But even though you changed, and now you're reaping the consequences of what you've done before you changed, God said, now is the true test. Can you keep doing what you know is right to do, even though you don't see the benefits of it yet?
Can you?
That's the question.
No, can you?
Can you still be Lazarus? resurrected from the dead, people still trying to bombard you with what you used to be, what you used to do. And you say, no, yes, that's true. That was me. But I'm made yet again another.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say all the time, the greatest snitch is time.
Yeah. That, no, time will always be the greatest snitch around people. That's why people will always eventually reveal their real self. You can front for a minute, but you can't remain that front forever. The real you is going to come out eventually. Time is going to tell them.
Right.
And time looks at you in your face and lets you know I'm telling you. It ain't trying to hide from you. It ain't going to tell on you behind your back. It's going to tell on you right in your face. And there are a lot of things, man, that we go through and that we're trying to get through. Like, in this day and time, being a man, right, in this day and time, the world we live in, is an offense to me. It's like you have to, they want you to dummy down your manhood and present, make it look a feminine type of thing in order to be accepted. But if you're a masculine man, it's toxic. It's a threat to society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, so there's so many things, man, that try to rob us of our destiny, so many things that try to rob us of our true purpose. And there's so many things that's trying to hinder us from going to the next level. And we can't allow people opinions about who we were and what we from where God is trying to take us. So it's how you respond to the voices that speak to you that determines where you're going to go.
Right.
And I always say it's a dangerous thing. You got to watch who life you put your hands in, because you'll only go as far as people want you to go. You'll only go as far as people want you to go. If people change their mind about you, they'll put the brakes on you if they're the ones opening the door for you.
Right.
If they change their mind about you, they'll be the ones that shut down the opportunities to you. They'll be the ones that will whisper to others, don't let him come near no more. No. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
When people opinion change about you, they feel a way, they get emotions about you, they start shutting down doors and try to start destroying connections that you had to other people.
And probably because if you look at chapter following, there was a plot to the Lamb's not to get you, but also kill Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the living
testimony of the power of God.
Power of resurrection.
And that's the thing. Whoa. That is why there are so many assassins trying to annihilate us. Because of the testimony that we carry that can bring someone else out of the hell that they're in.
Right.
And that's why the enemy wants to shut your mouth,
mm-hmm.
discredit the value of your life so you feel like you don't matter. So what's in you don't matter when I'm around these certain people, because who they are, they matter more and I don't. That's how the enemy wants to make you feel.
Right.
So when I'm around a certain setting, I'm beneath everybody. A lot of Jesus against that.
Yeah.
When you belong to God, you can go in any room with anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. If the hand of the Lord is on your life, man, and it's God that woke you up, it's God that said, get up. I seen you laying there polluted in your own blood, but it was me
that washed you.
That washed you.
Your parents didn't want nothing to do with
you. When you was rejected by everybody else, I'm the one that put fine linen on you. And we got to know when God calls us out of the tomb.
Right.
We just have to know that it was his voice that called us out. And it's his voice that's going to be with us while we're walking out of the tomb.
Right. Right. And his voice is going to be with those. Hopefully, the message. Hopefully, you are listening tonight. You're talking about that. Like,
we as a church have our ears so tuned to God.
Yes.
So we said, loose them and let them go. That means we gotta loose them too.
We gotta loose them.
We gotta loose them.
His word will bring them out.
Yeah.
But it's our responsibility
to loose them,
to help them get the grave clothes off.
And you know what? Meaning like this. I raised them up. So treat them like they're alive.
Don't treat them like they're dead.
Don't treat them like they're dead. Don't treat them like they're not worthy. Because the very fact that my voice spoke on their life gives them all of the approval they need. When the voice of God speaks on your life and you've been in the tomb, you've been in the grave, you've been in an abusive relationship, you've been in prison, you've been on drugs, you've been in all these different things that has had you in a dead place. But the voice of God made its way to where you are in that dark abyss of life and spoke to you. The very fact that he spoke to you and you got up gave you all the approval that you need. That gave you the approval. The very fact that God spoke to you. Isn't it so? Apostle D.C. Thomas said something powerful. God ain't speaking to the issue.
He's speaking to the man.
He's speaking to the man. And right now in this moment, God is speaking to so many of you out there right now. I don't care what the issue is, what dead thing you're carrying, what dead thing that's in you, what dead things that are running through your bloodstream, whatever it is you're going through, there's a word right now about to penetrate your ears so it can get to your heart. And I guarantee you, if you obey the Lord when he speaks, your life will never be the same again. You can come out of the tomb. Don't get rose up from the dead, but choose to make your tomb your place that you remain. Come out of there.
Right.
Come out of the tomb. Come out of that dark place. And don't be ashamed of what you were delivered from.
Right.
Don't be ashamed of it. Use it as fuel, as a testimony for someone else's deliverance. And that's the power of this. That's the power, the rejection of Lazarus in the church. We've been rejected. We've been hurt. Our lives been shattered. We've been raised up in broken homes. We've been abused. We've been battered. We've been spit on. All these different things. Life been beating us down. But guess what? God still say, get up. The people that we love that choose not to love us back,
right.
God says, get up. God said, it doesn't matter. What I speak to you, what I say to you, matters the most. So it's deeper than just being a faithful church goer. It's deeper than just, I go to church on 8 o'clock service and I'm a faithful person that go to church because I was raised in it. God is saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. And he has created you to get up. So regardless
of where you are, for the love of God, get up. Like, don't stay there.
Don't stay there.
Don't stay there. Why go back in the grave that he called you out of?
Listen, man. If anybody else is out there and you want to call in 917-889-7076. Talk with us for a few minutes. We're about to, we're not going to be on here long. We was on here for a little bit, but we're about to get off in a minute. We really wish that Dr. Sean Sues was going to be on here tonight, but maybe other things got in the way or whatever, but it's a blessing to still be on here tonight. We're still going to be consistent with Dirty Church Radio going forth with different, discussions and topics. We just thank God for everything that's going on. But I would like to hear someone, if you got a testimony, even if you need a prayer or if you have something to say what you heard tonight on this radio station, tonight here on Dirty Church Radio. Call in right now. We're live. We're here on Facebook, and we're on live on the radio. So you can call in 917-889-7076 and come here and be a part of this broadcast on April 28th, 2019, Sunday night. Dirty Church Radio presents Unrestricted Conversations.
Yeah.
Unrestricted Conversations. So, Pastor Boone, do you know what it's like to be Lazarus? Do you know what it's like?
Man.
Do you know what it's like to
be Lazarus? I know what it's like to be Lazarus and Martha.
Mm.
I know what it's like to be in both roles at the same time.
Mm.
Where part of you is Lazarus in grave clothes, needing a word to call you out. And when you're on your way out, you're looking at the Mark, like, okay, you're getting me out, but what about that one? What about my Lazarus? So now it's like I'm learning how where God let me maintain my resolution.
Yes.
The problem is one thing that we have difficulty with, especially me, because I love hard. That's one of my biggest problems. I'm little. I think one of the problems that we run into is the fact that we sometimes be so good. Get you out. But one thing I learned about as women is that, yo, it's hard to save someone who's panicking. It's best in some way, it comes to between you or them. So, like, we can't take the place of God. Sometimes you gotta let God call that person.
And you know something? That God has the power to call them out. But the thing about when God calls out, when He calls out the person that hurt us, when He calls out the person that offended us, when He calls out the person that you don't like, or when He calls out the person that you once considered an enemy,
right?
When you see them come out the tomb, you have a responsibility now to show them the love that was shown to you. You can't take
the position of rejecting
them.
Oh, no. You did that, and guess what? You on your own.
No, because when you accept God, and you sin, you confess, and you stand on His principles, and you know it was His love that got you and brought you out of yours, now you have to show that love at all times.
Right.
And if you can't show that love, now you're at a place where you need
God to work on you
so you can show that love. And listen, man, the real you will always come out of you when you're faced with the very things you don't want to do.
Yeah, man.
The things that you don't want. Lord, you want me to say what to them? Oh, no, God, no. Oh, no. Do you know what they did to me, God?
You know how they treated me?
Do you know what they said to me? God, do you know? And then God is looking at us with that look. Here, do you know what I went through for you?
Right.
When they were saying what they were saying to you and what you said to somebody else, when I was on the very cross dying and being, I had all of that on my mind, and I was dying for all of that. I was dying for every disrespectful thing that you said out of your mouth to someone else, and I also died for every disrespectful thing that was said out of somebody else's mouth towards you. I died for that. I died for you and your enemy. I love you and your enemy.
You know what, Jay? I was moving to come from the air about time to live, like, okay, God saying, it's not in my will, but it's in my plan. And understand the concept that there's some things that may happen in your life unexpectedly. Bless you, sir. Something that happens in your life out of your control. That, yes, in the ideal perspective, it's not in God's wicked will. But in His infinite wisdom, His infinite ultimate ability, Like, yo, he orchestrated that part to be a part of the plan to bring you to where he wants you to be.
And you know something? When God does things like that, a lot of times, bro, it don't feel good.
It don't feel good.
It don't feel good, right? You're like,
it
yo, God, why we got to go this route?
It don't feel fair.
Yeah.
It don't feel fair. Some of that person is, if I did something to warrant it, I can stomach it better. I understand what pastors go to. If I did something to you to warrant this kind of treatment, then I can deal with you treat me this kind of way.
But then, listen.
But
what the question?
But then that part doesn't matter. Okay, because in essence, salvation was a plan to bring about his will.
That's right.
But even at that, like, yo, if you don't set the plan that he set up for you.
But the thing about it,
like,
right?
Yo,
he doesn't show us the whole plan.
You know, man, yo,
he shows us a still frame.
It's a powerful point of a movie that we had seen last weekend on Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
The PowerPoint we had seen yet. The PowerPoint of the movie where Strange, where like, yo, man, you went through all these scenarios in your head. One scenario is the only way we get out.
But
if I tell you, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah. No, if I tell you, that changes it.
That changes it. It won't happen.
It won't happen.
But in that moment,
mm-hmm.
you knew.
Yeah.
He knew what he had to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that moment.
And a lot of us right now have that moment right now where we know what we really have to do. We know the choices we really have to make. We know that individual that we really have to forgive that we don't want to. Because we can go no further than what we're willing to forgive. Like, you can go no further than that.
What do you have to snap away?
Come on, man. Like, seriously, it's really that deep. I really want somebody, before we go off this air, I want somebody to call in at 917-889-7076. I just want to hear some insight. I don't know. I see Pastor Everton Harris is on here watching, if he still is. It would be a blessing, man, if you could just call in here at 917-889-7076. 917-889-7076. Or even Evangelist Bradley, 917-889-7076. We're here dealing with the rejection of Lazarus in the church. What do we do when God forgives individuals? They fell, they messed up. Their situation, it was ugly, disgusting, and dirty, and filthy. And it's just something that's just so messed up. But God forgave them, raised them up. Now they come to the church, and the church rejects them.
Let me prophesy.
Yes.
Yeah.
For real, man. I'm telling you, it may cost, and it's costing us a whole lot. Can you imagine the people right now, Pastor Boone, that was rejected,
mm-hmm.
and walked away and never made it back? They were rejected because of what they looked like, what they smelled like, what they were remembered for. Us, with our self-righteous selves, look at people. Since now we're not where we used to be, we feel like we arrived somewhere. So now when we encounter the very thing that disgusts us, we don't have ability to bring deliverance to it, or compassion towards it, that we're willing to have enough patience to stand in war in that moment so that person can survive and come out of where they are. But we just want to have church, dance, quit. Let's go home. It's over with. Church, quick, let me sing. Power. Oh, great song. Oh, powerful message. Oh, that was a preach word. Boom, go home, let's go eat. It's over with. When there are people who, there were people that were there that needed severe deliverance. They needed Pastor Boone to roll his sleeves up, take off his tie,
right,
and put some work in. That's what we're talking about. Dealing with the very individuals that are rejected.
And sometimes some people don't call come off instantly. No. Some people take progressive time.
Depending on how long they were dead.
How long you were dead. Like sometimes some people have great goals of habits, great goals of attitude.
That's right.
Great goals of self-rejection.
Self-rejection.
Like, yo, you gotta build up their self-esteem about themselves.
That's right.
Like, yo, you gotta have this spirit of discernment, man. Like, we mishandle a lot of resurrected folks.
And it's crazy, man, because it's almost like, you know, all these different zombie movies that are out right now. You notice, it's like, there's so many zombie movies, right? But it's almost like that's how the outcast, that's how people treat them now. Treated like a zombie. I don't want no parts about you. I don't want to be around you. I just want to just keep my little salvation to myself. Just deal with that. And I don't want to put no work in because it may cause me to get dirty dealing with you. But I believe the season that we're in, Pastor Boone, it requires us to get dirty.
Yeah.
It requires us, because if you have the ability and the power to go in the midst of dark places and tombs to bring people out, there's going to be some dirt going to get on.
And it's funny thing, the reality of this, man. Whatever God has put in your life, if you've not caught off guard, simply for having this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We told him, let's go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He knew a storm was going to come up between here and there. He went to sleep on a boat. You know why? His mindset is, my word should be enough. Keep enough confidence that if I'm on the boat,
mm-hmm,
you're going to make it.
That's right. If I'm on the boat, and that's to the individual out there right now, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, God is on the boat. He's there. It may not feel like it. But let's not take the word of individuals who are, you know, looking forward to your downfall or reminding you of your past, where they don't even have an eyesight to even see where God is trying to take you, where God has to be, where you at right now. Remember what God spoke to you. Remember what God is speaking to you. And God wants you to live. You've been raised up. You fell. You've had your Lazarus moment. You were dead. Death all around you. But you got up. And believe me, you have enough power in you to deal with the rejection that you may encounter on this walk. As long as you remember his voice and know it was his voice called you forth.
Yeah, I do feel like there's somebody waiting for you.
That's right.
There's a Martha, there's a Mary, there's someone that's been praying for you to come out of that grave situation.
Mm.
That's waiting for you to come. And the joy that they're going to feel when you come out of where you are is so immeasurable, man. Like, yo, that's why Mary could give that ointment and anoint you the way she did the next chapter, because she realized that, yo, you gave me that.
That's right.
And this is the least that I could do.
Wow. I thank God for everybody that came on here tonight. We wasn't on here too long. I was really looking forward to Dr. Sean Sewells coming on tonight, but he didn't make it on here tonight. But God still came through, and I believe that there was something that was said that touched someone's life. There was some type of thought, some type of scenario of information that has impacted somebody's life. And we thank everyone who took the time just to tune in to Dirty Church Radio tonight. Could have been doing anything else, but you took part of your life, part of your lifespan, and spent it with us. And we are so, so grateful for that. And we thank God for you all. We're praying for you all. And we're looking forward. Catch us here next Sunday night, 8 p.m. We'll continue one more round, one more part, dealing with the rejection of Lazarus in the church. And just looking for God doing some great things. Look for Pastor Boone. Tell him about what's going on.
June 8th. At Great Big Tabernacle, we have a service there, Revolution. Some of my old friends, we get together. We're doing a service on June 8th at Great Big Tabernacle, 103 Vernon Street, Bordentown, New Jersey. Call the Encounter.
Encounter.
You're going to see a promo for it soon. Crazy, awesome. Singing, praise dancing, some worship, great word, and God's going to bless us. Meet us there.
Meet us there. I'm going to tell you, man, I just thank God, man, for his word.
Let's try it if you can. Take the Lord along with you everywhere. Take the Lord along with you. You're gonna need him. We're gonna need him, saints. Higher.
That moment is in game.
Like
the conversations. But you know, I got off 5 I got off work like 7 morning. Right?
Now that's going from the morning into the afternoon. Now into the evening. So I thank God for second service experience. Second service. Thank God for
his first service grace.
That's how that guy means it for 12 o'clock.
Yo, man, I'm trying to tell you, man, that one part of the movie, man, that one part of the movie, he's there and said, like, yo, because now, like, when I look at him now, I reflect on why he felt he needed to have that constant when Daniel's about to kill Tony Stark. Because he knew that Tony Stark was the only way of hope. Yeah.
This is Dirty Church Radio.
Yep.
We're glad that you tuned
in. That was, yeah. Remember in the first one, he was like, yo.
If you pray that, just one word that you hear.
He was like, wondering why he saved him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Why would you give it to him?
Yeah. They told him, like, because you're the only hope. That was sad, though.
It was sad. I think I was more sad about Black Widow dying than him. So I kind of knew that Tony Stark would have to die. I kind of knew that. There's a lot of foreshadowing. If you look at the other ones, like Ultron 1, Age of Ultron, like, yo, the other set, like, you kind of knew that, yo, he would have to die.